Hari Hibo Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahabriyam Karabhavahai Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so page 40. Devahuti's father handed over responsibility for her to the husband, Kardama Muni. And in the same way, Kardama Muni also left home, giving the responsibility to his son, Kapila Dev. This narration will describe these events one after another.
So the principle is that the relationship is always going on, right? It's always connected. So you never have a time when there's no relationship, right? The idea is that one's just on one's own, there's no connection, no closeness, you know, no intimacy. That is what the Vedic culture is trying to avoid. Doesn't mean it doesn't come up, but that's what one's trying to avoid. Right? Because that's the natural position. If a relationship is there, it's strong, then the whole environment works very well. And if that's not there, then that's always something lacking. Right? Does that make sense? Because for the man to go out, you know, have some work, do something, to him that's an accomplishment. Right? He's done something mechanically, it's been functioning, and it works. But on the feminine angle, that's not really an accomplishment. Because the point is what emotional aspect has it cultivated? Right? Other than you hate your boss, you hate everybody else in the office, you hate going to the work, you hate the traffic jams, and you don't even like your car. You know? It's not like you roll up to the office in some fancy car or something, so at least people notice that. You know, you can't dress too nice, then all the men harass you. You don't dress nicely, all the other ladies harass you. So what is the benefit? You understand? So that's the point that's being made, is that, no, that relationship is always, that central relationship is always established, then one is strong. Does that make sense? That's the idea. Because the women are strong, then that means the children will be strong. And if they're strong, that means your next generation, so the culture goes on. But otherwise, if the women are not comfortable, that means the kids are uncomfortable, and your next generation is uncomfortable, and then they make everybody uncomfortable. Right? And you give that a few generations, they go out of their way to make you feel uncomfortable. Yes? Huh? Okay. Yes?
So ladies' power lays in the protection, in the protective
environment?
Yes.
In other words, the more protected the lady is, the more powerful she is. Right? Because the identity is strong. It means you do something based on identity. So the stronger the identity, the stronger the ability. You know? It's just standard. It's just science. It's not something else. So if individuals have grown up in an environment where that's totally lacking, then it won't, the need of it won't be seen. But as soon as it's there, one adjusts fairly quickly. You know, so if there's been a lack of it, if it's been negative, it may take a while to adjust that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we see nowadays many single ladies are very powerful and they get high.
But powerful in what?
I mean, immaterial perspective.
Yeah, but that's in the man's world, they may be powerful.
Yeah.
But in the women's world, they're not very powerful. You know what I'm saying? She may be the CEO of the company, bossing everybody around, you know, heavy-duty lady, this and that. And then she sees this other simple lady going by with a baby and having very nice interaction and the kids coming up and mommy, mommy and all that. She's jealous. So in the women's world, she's weak.
But how can she become strong in men's view?
No, if the men are supporting, then she becomes strong. Yeah, means the point is energy, energetic go together. Masculine and feminine, they have to go together. So if you have only feminine, there's no masculine, then how does it work? You have to then generate it yourself. Right? If there's not men taking care, then the woman takes up the masculine role to try to balance it. Right? But because she's doing it, then that means in her, then that means the feminine goes down. Instead of being 100% feminine, she can only be 50% feminine because she's having to be 50% masculine. You understand? So in the man's world, she'll be strong. But in the women's world, she won't. Because the point is, you could say, oh, but she's only 50% in the man's world, but the women are twice as strong as men anyway, so therefore it's 100%. You know what I'm saying? Who would you rather have yell at you? You know, really heavy, nasty. A man or a woman? Woman. Okay. Don't worry about it. See, the men are just going to hit you up the side of the head. Right? If they yell at you. You know, because your skill is lacking. The woman yells at you, she goes after the heart. Right? The man yells at you, you'll have scratch, you know, bruises on your face. Women, you'll have bruises on your heart. So, up to you. Whichever you like bruise, you go. Yes.
All right, so then, if this feminine masculine principle, then with renunciants, they take shelter of God, and then there is the position.
Yeah. So that's why they're, you know, gentle and all that, but very powerful, because they have the shelter of the Lord. So in that way, they're powerful, because they're in the feminine position.
That relationship.
Yeah, and that's why they don't need to try to control and enjoy the material world. That's why you see a good brahmachari is actually quite gentle. Yeah. Right, the rough, tough, you know. Eat wood for breakfast, you know, like that kind of brahmachari, they don't last very long.
Yeah.
You know, because they're like, you know, men, you know, how you say it? Yeah, they're just men over the brink, you know.
What about the impersonalist sannyasi? Like
the impersonalist sannyasi.
The Buddhist monks.
Buddhist monks.
Yeah.
Depends what line of Buddhism. But the point is when they get up there, then they start to take on more and more of the masculine role, because then they try through Tantra to try to control the feminine element. But they try to do it all on the mental platform. So physically, then there may be nothing happening, but mentally, then they're not in a good position. No? Yes.
I wonder, we hear many times that the women has to be protected by the men, but what does that protection, like, what is the job description of
it? What is the job description of protection?
What kind of protection actually is?
Means you create an environment where all four levels of Atma are taken care of. You know what I'm saying? So that's the position. The men, they should generate that themselves. But for the women, it should be generated for them. Right? Because the women's business is not generating it, it's applying it, using it. You know what I'm saying? The man, it's like this. The man has to get the money, get the groceries, but then who does something with the groceries? You know what I'm saying? The guy's got the house and all that, but who sets the house up and how it's going to be? You know? So that's it. The feminine generates the variety. the taste, the interaction, the rasa, because that's the aspect that's there. That's where the dynamic element is, the existence, that safety. You understand? That's what the men are providing. But then what is done with that, that's the feminine aspect. Men have stuff, they don't know what to do with it, right? You go into that area where it looks like, you know, last night there was a mortar attack that the men call their bedroom. Then everything desirable may be in there, but the arrangement is not very desirable. Does that make sense? Yeah. So ladies know how to organize that. You know, it's the general principle is the women domesticate the man. Right? No? Domesticate.
It's a foreign principle.
Spanish domesticato or domesticato. You know, in other words, you're trying to bring close to the human platform.
Turning from a caveman into a...
Yeah, bringing Neanderthal up to speed. You know.
Well, sometimes it is.
It's not sometimes. We're talking about that's the standard principle. Rarely it's the other way around, but generally they make movies out of that one. You know, it's called, My Fair Lady or Pretty Woman, like that. You know, that's about it, you know. You know, but it's rare it's that way. But even in the process, they do something to the man. You know, the man is made more gentle. Does that make sense?
Yes, I'm just thinking about, you know, women who are single and who are able to provide for themselves within these four areas.
No, they're saying the point is those have to be provided. So if you're providing them, it just means you have less time to put into the feminine aspects. If someone else is providing them, you have more time to put into it. That's all. It's the skill to maintain oneself, that's not rocket science. Nowadays it's made into that it's rocket, but that's the easy part. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just mechanics. You understand? It's just like this. You want to get into, which is easier, getting into a can of beans or getting into someone's head? Huh? Yeah, so that's the thing. Work is like getting into a can of beans. Relationships are like, you know, you have to get into the person. That's the difficult thing. Like, it's just like this. Whether I put the can on the counter first and then get the can opener or get the can opener and then bring the can of beans, does it matter? Okay, now I bring the lady to the situation, then set up the situation. Is that going to work?
No,
I have to have the situation set up, then I bring the lady, and then she's impressed. So the can of beans doesn't care, the lady does. You know what I'm saying? That's the difference, right? The guys come over and they go and open the fridge and there's no beer or nothing like that. Okay, I'll pop out for it. Nobody cares. Even one of the guys will say, hey, I'll get it. Can you imagine you bring the lady over to the house and then there's not something to eat or drink like that? You know, it doesn't work. You understand? So the mechanics are the easy part. And that's all that you require in the man's world to work. If mechanically it works, no one cares if there's great emotion or not. In fact, less emotion, better. You know, it's not like the guys talk around. Yeah, you know, he was tightening up the spark plugs, you know, with such affection. You know, they don't say that. You know, he was tightening the lug nuts with such, you know, care and sensitivity. You know, that it doesn't happen. You know, at least not on this side. Maybe on the maybe for those on the other team, maybe it goes that way. But I can't say. You know.
So the four types of Atma is the body,
the mind, the intelligence, and the consciousness.
And the woman can protect herself when it comes.
She can arrange all those four, but then what it takes out of time that she would be doing other things. Does that make sense?
It makes her maybe more
hard-hearted, or it just be like we said, there's less cultivation of the feminine. So to deal with just the mechanics, you just have to deal with mechanics, so that sensitivity, everything naturally will go down. You know, so that's what I was saying. It's not that it can't be done. It just is not, it's not the ideal, right? But when we're talking about this ideal, we're talking about a secondary aspect. We're not talking about primary. Primary is to be God conscious. So secondary, we were just talking about, you can be God conscious, do your duties nicely, and material arrangements and facilities can be very nice. Like we see, you know, as it coming up for Devahuti or for Draupadi or all these, you know, great ladies we hear about, generally their arrangements are very nice. It can be like that. But because it's the material world, you can see it can also be the opposite. For Devahuti, we see for the first some time, it's not like that. Or for Draupadi, it's like that, then not like that, then like that again. So there's that aspect also. Of course, you're doing your duties, you're trying to create the nicest arrangement, but that arrangement will be sustainable, that's not something that you can guarantee. Because it's the material world. You know, it's just like you cannot guarantee that your bathroom always smells nice. You know, you can work at it, and you can generally do a fairly good job, but now and again, it gets out of hand. Does that make sense? So, therefore, we can understand in this example, we're comparing the material world like the bathroom. Does that make sense? Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what you're trying to do. So it's not that it's important, it just works easier. It's just like this. Okay, we have now so many apartments available in Mayapur. Which one do people go for? I mean, of course, they want to get, you know, something for their money, but it's generally which is going to be the most comfortable, which is going to have arrangements that they materially appreciate. The view, the openness, the air, the light, the space, you know, the usage of you know, what they can do in the place. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why I'm saying, because we can say, no, but that's material. It says that, damn right, that's what everybody here is doing. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. So because of that, that's why the Vedic culture deals with that. But it deals with it in such a way that it can be accomplished through the mode of goodness. While the Western has to do it through the mode of passion. You have to do the right thing. But it has to be, but it has, it's simply because of your need that you're driving. The Vedic is you have the need, but you have to follow your duties and do those for that higher purpose. You know, in our case, to please Krishna. Then because of that, then you get the material facilities, because you're making the same endeavor, you just don't have the same mode of passion that you're doing it. And nowadays, in the modern culture, that lack of that passion then is seen as you're not interested, you don't have no drive, you know. But the Vedic, you get the same results, actually better results, from doing from the mode of goodness. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, you get the guy out there on the street, you know, and he knows something, and there's some guys there, and yeah, he's there, making noises, and saying all kinds of things, and moving around, it's a whole scene. Right? Then you have, you know, the you know, the Chinese martial arts master. He just sits there, you know, and the guy comes up to him, says all kinds of things. He doesn't move. He gets too close. Then he finds that he's missing something. You understand? That's the difference. The West has no concept of how I could get everything I want materially, but do it in a detached way because it's duty. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like the sense of duty, I think, died with World War II. You know? Like that. The baby boomers don't know that concept. You
know?
Yes.
If you do out of duty, but still with this flavor, it will be passion.
It'll be passion, but it'll be passion that is actually effective.
But will it ever transform?
If you're a devotee, then it will transform quickly because there is the now and again the concept that it's for Krishna. So it gets purified and it moves forward. If you're a materialist, it'll take lifetimes. So that's why for the devotee, all these things are quite quickly. It takes time, but you have to accept that this is what's doing and then it works. You know, like I was watching one of the kids yesterday. He has to sweep, you know, some area. He doesn't want to do it. So he's got the broom and he takes it and goes whack. Whack. Like that. Moves over a couple inches. Whack. Like this. Now, it will take him an hour to do what he could do in 10 minutes. It's because he's not committed to it. He doesn't want to do it, so it won't be a good job. It'll take him forever. Right? So that's the mode of ignorance. It's done slowly and badly. Passion, it's done quickly because they want to go play, so they just go and do it quickly. So it's done quickly, but also badly. Mode of goodness, it'll be quick and good. We're not used to that. So there's always, oh, why do we have to follow this? Why? No. Except, that's why Prabhupada starts with the principle of the spirit, prajumna. You start with, okay, I acknowledge this should be done by my intelligence. I may like it, I may not like it, but at least I have the attitude that this is what should be done. And if I have that attitude, then, okay, let's see what happens if I do it with the attitude and the elements that are recommended. And then try that. That used to be like one of the preaching techniques we used to use before. You tell somebody about chanting Hare Krishna. You just tell them, try it for a few weeks. If it does something for you, great. You know, if not, just stop chanting. You know, it doesn't cost you any money. It's not a great amount of time. You know, it's just, you know. So that's the thing. That's what the problem is. Just try it. So if that's there, then we'll see these things work. But you have to balance it with the contemporary environment that's not ideal. So in other words, women must be protected. So if men are there that are protecting, great. If not, the woman should protect herself. Because the Vedic principles, you can't protect a woman who doesn't want to be protected. Right? They're more clever than the men. They'll always figure out how to weasel out of it. Right? You understand? So if a woman wants to be protected, if they're there to help in that process, great. If not, she does it herself. But you have to know what the standard is of protection. So just, no, but we can do whatever we like. Great. But is in doing what you like, is in pursuance of protecting yourself. You know what I'm saying? Is that what
you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, you can see that civilization based on passion, like Western civilization.
No, it's based on ignorance. There's a touch of passion just to give it a little glitz.
Well, we see they are very strong. I mean, we destroyed the Eastern civilization. During the...
Yeah, but how are they destroying it?
Like, they invading to India and it became colony. I mean, like China, invaded by Western countries.
Okay, but what's the main factor that ruins it? And just like you take invading. Now, how many different groups within China are there? And each one, how much time were they invading each other? So since time immemorial, all the Chinese have been doing amongst themselves are invading each other. It's very rare there's a time where it's just peaceful and everybody's satisfied.
It's always
so it's not the invasion. Because one Chinese group invades, then what's the culture?
Same.
Yeah, maybe a little bit different. You end up with a ponytail or you don't end up with a ponytail. Right?
Yes, finally it's become...
It's about the same, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's still going to be eating with chopsticks and, you know, it's still this, yeah.
But then the Western civilization come...
So what's the problem? Now, as long as they're there, if you have the white devils over here, you know, there's that little island, you know? And if they're on that little island, the white devils make any problem. They're on their own little island. You don't go to their island, they don't come to yours. You have some little thing where you make your business deals, they get on their boats and float away. Swim. No, they're not going to swim. Sail away, yeah.
But, I mean,
you understand? So when does it actually break down? When the Chinese accept the Western value system. The Japanese were there and they were trying to deal with them and nothing was happening. But when they accepted the value system, who got rid of the samurai? The Westerners or the Japanese themselves?
Japanese themselves.
Yeah. Who got rid of the Chinese culture, the tradition, the religion, the everything like that? The Chinese themselves. Cultural revolution meant the culture of accepting basically the more Western values. You have to remember, communism is not a Chinese philosophy. You know? It's some, I think, was a German Jewish guy.
Right. They think that the reason why...
So therefore, underneath, you see the Jews are running everything. You know, they control America, they control that, they control the fight, and they make money off of both sides. Right? Don't talk about that too much. You understand? So the whole point is when... So it's about what is your values. That's why Prabhupada starts with the attitude. The attitude is, okay, here's the Vedic system. It's different. It's unique. I don't have any experience. But the acharyas and the shastras says this is what should be done. I should accept that as a principle, and then I should try to apply that and then be observant and see how it results. Because we see stories of all these great personalities. They follow it. They get good results. And you see stories of the Westerners, and it's very rare anybody ever gets any good results. Generally, if it's mixed, that's called good. You know? And a lot of times, it's just downright bad. You know what I'm saying? In India, the Muni comes up with a philosophy, he's known for that philosophy. In the West, you come up with some idea, some businessman makes the money off of it, and they don't even know who your name is. Yeah, so the whole point is people accept it, that's the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? And so before it's very obvious, you know, you come in with your boats and your cannons and your guns and all that, then you can understand they're trying to invade. They come in with McDonald's and all these other things, then you don't know they've just invaded. No?
Yeah.
If we're going to say, like in China, on the billboard, if we're selling some cosmetic thing to make you look beautiful, whose face is on there?
It's Western face.
It's a Western face. You understand? So that's the whole thing. They've accepted that as a value system. So that's the difficulty, is that when that happens, that's when then it goes down. So that's what we're saying. It's the same as the opposite. We accept the concept of the Vedic culture and these values, then it moves that direction. We don't, we stay where we are. So it's the association is the real point. Does that make sense? Verses 26-39. Manu returns to his kingdom. Verses 26-39 describe how Manu returned to his majestic kingdom, within which he enjoyed incredible material opulence, beyond the miseries of material existence, and yet made advancement in spiritual life. And at the end of his life, he went back to Godhead. So this is an important element showing that, because otherwise there's always thing, okay, if I give everything up, follow all these things nicely, then what about my material benefit? Now, generally when we recommend human life should follow rules and regulations, perform their duties, what scripture are we basing this on?
Manu.
So therefore, that it's very natural to show that Manu, you know, following all these rules is doing okay. Otherwise, if you're following Manu Samhita and then we find out that, you know, actually he lives on the edge of Soweto, then we might have some doubts. Do I want to follow this? You know? Yeah. Okay. Quote, after asking and obtaining the great sage's permission to leave, the monarch mounted his chariot with his wife and started for his capital, followed by his retinue. Along the way, he saw the prosperity of the tranquil seer's beautiful hermitages on both the charming banks of the Saraswati, the river so agreeable to saintly persons. Right? So here, it's the same principle, is that the kings are taking care. Right? So they're protecting the environment. So in other words, creating the environment, the kings are doing that. And then the Brahmins are able to live in that very peacefully. So it's the same principle of protection. Right? But what we were hearing before was the other way, is that the Brahmins are creating that environment of proper understanding and knowledge and attitude that the Kshatriyas could then function in. You understand? So that's why it's reciprocal. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So Maharaj?
Yes.
It means between Brahmin and Kshatriya, they can take masculine or feminine position.
Depends on what you're doing. But in the primary role, the Brahmin is in the masculine position. In the secondary role, then the Kshatriya is in it. You know, it's just like you take it there when you have the husband and wife. He's creating that environment in which the woman can function, but within that which she functions, that gives shelter then to the man's senses.
Yes. Yes.
You understand? So it's always going back and forth. That's the difficulty. The principles are extremely simple. But because they're so sophisticated, then applying them. You know, if let's say I have a formula for the area of a circle. Okay? Where can I apply that? To circles. Right? It won't work with squares or triangles. Right? So it works in exactly one place and it's easy. So I have to know three formulas. One for squares, one for circles, and one for triangles. But the Vedic system is, you know what's behind it, you know one formula. But it works on all three, so to be able to understand how it works in these different areas is seemingly very different. That's the difficulty. So this concept of sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana works everywhere. And so we're used to something working in one place, and then in another place it'll be different. Right? But that's the point. The detail will be different, but the principle is still exactly the same. Does that make sense? So that's why, even though it's a simple thing, it's given to us over and over and over again. Right? Right? The sages describe that in the beginning, and then in the past times, in the first canto, then the second canto, all the breakdown of all the philosophy, now we're hearing it again. So we hear it over and over and over again. Because otherwise, then we have a tendency to think that I hear it, then I apply it, but I only see it in context of my application. I actually didn't really catch the principle.
Yes.
So then when I bring up a new situation, then it's new. How does this apply? So I have to again go back to the principle. And then we do that enough. After a while, then we start to see in the principle and then see how it applies. So we've learned, let's say, 10 different ways to apply it. Now we understand the principle. Now the rest of them we can apply ourselves. Right? So it says. But that takes time. That's considered more advanced. Like Upanishads are considered more advanced because of that principle. It gives a few examples. You have to apply it to the rest. But in the histories, then it shows the same thing being applied from so many different angles. Does that make sense? So that's what it's trying to be done. So that's the nice thing about Bhagavatam. It has all the philosophy of the Upanishads, but in the story form of, and examples of the Purana. So that's why it's considered the best of all literatures. Right? And then you have all the cultural aspects and all the philosophical. Right? Does that make sense?
It's complete.
Complete, yes. Overjoyed to know of his arrival, his subjects came forth from Brahmavarta to greet their returning lord with songs, prayers, and musical instruments. Right? So we see here is that the citizens are happy that he comes back. You know what I'm saying? That's the principle of leadership.
There's no strike.
Yeah, there's no strike. It's not that hey, he's coming, and then you know they're all out there with their posters and that, and, you know. Yeah, it's not like that. Or hey, he's back! Get out the guillotine! Right? You know? So it's so it's a slightly different principle. And then Brahmavarta, remember, that's that area around the Saraswati River. That's considered where that's the central feature, the central essence of all the Vedic culture, right? Is Brahmavarta. Brahmavarta. Then Aryavarta is then from there all the way over to the Bay of Bengal, right? What's south of the Himalaya and north of the Vindhyas. Right? So that's the bigger area. But the Brahmavarta is considered that very essential around the Saraswati. Because that's the origin of where all the Brahminical culture is. Because Kshatriyas came later.
Yes.
First you had Brahmins, and then in Treta Yuga, then Kshatriyas.
And Saraswati Maharaj is near Pakistan?
Yes, no. That's over there. That's the fun of Kali Yuga. You take the highest and turn it into the lowest. Right?
Is the Hindu Valley civilization?
Yeah, the Indus Valley. Because that's where then you know Kali Yuga has its effect. The city of Barhishmati, rich in all kinds of wealth, was so called because Lord Vishnu's hair dropped there from his body when he manifested himself as Lord Boar. He shook his body. As he shook his body, this very hair fell and turned into blades of evergreen kusa grass and kasha, another kind of grass used for mats, by means of which the sages worship Lord Vishnu. And after defeating the demons who had interfered with the performance of their sacrifices, Manu spread a seat of kushas and kashas and worshipped the Lord, the personality of Godhead, by whose grace he obtained the rule of the terrestrial globe. Having entered the city of Barhishmati, in which he had previously lived, Manu entered his palace, which is filled with an atmosphere that eradicated the three miseries of material existence. 26-32. In his purport to verse 32, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that the miseries of material existence cannot affect the status of Krishna consciousness, right? So that's the key. Is why is his the atmosphere eradicates the three miseries of material existence, right? So he's pointing out because of Krishna consciousness. It is not that the miseries of the material world completely vanish when one takes to Krishna consciousness. But for one who is Krishna conscious, the miseries of material existence have no effect. Right? It's not that it doesn't happen. It's just there's no effect. Like we see, now if I take a lotus flower and I if you take a lotus flower and let's say you hit a bug with it, right? Does it have an effect?
Not at all.
On the bug?
Yes.
Huh? Yeah, finished, yeah. Now let's say you take the same lotus flower and you whack an elephant. Right? So that's the example given. Is that the material? It's not that the activities aren't there. It's just that it's not an elephant. It's not that it, but it doesn't have an effect. So that's the thing. We're thinking that the material miseries will go away. That's not going to happen. You're in the material world. What's going to go away is the effect that it bothers you. Does that make sense? That's what can go away. Just like, let's say, it's a really good day. Something small goes wrong. Does it bother you? No. Let's say it's a bad day. Something small goes wrong. It's the end of the world. You understand? So it's not what goes wrong, it's how it affects you that's important. So Krishna consciousness is how these things won't affect. It doesn't mean they won't be there. That's the mistake, thinking that they will go away. Right?
Hmm? Yes. That if we still have the effect, if we feel the effect, then it means we're not Krishna conscious anymore.
No, but how do you deal when that effect happens?
Go
do you,
on.
Do you that?
We fight. Depends.
But is there the, how you say, are we introducing the element of Krishna consciousness into this fighting and going on?
Yes.
Means as a backup plan or as the main, you know, thrust of our endeavor or?
Preaching technique.
Huh?
Preaching technique.
To yourself.
Depends on.
So then you're using the sura method. When there's a problem, then you introduce Krishna consciousness. If there's no problem, then life's great. You understand? So that's it. It's just a matter of, how you say, applying Krishna consciousness. So it's just a matter of when we'll introduce it, to what degree. But the idea is the practice of always using Krishna consciousness as the actual point that gets rid of all misery. Because these others are only in support to apply the Krishna consciousness to the situation.
Others,
right?
Others, do you mean material stuff?
If I say, don't worry, everything will be all right. Okay? Was that spiritual or material?
Always
yeah, but it has to be said. Yeah, it must be said. Though you know, what do you mean? You know, how will it be okay? Guys are a little crazy. Now what? Okay, we'll go to plan ZZ. A through D and AA through ZZ didn't work, so now. Okay. You understand? So, it's the element of Krishna consciousness. Now, if I just say, you know, it's the material world, you know, we shouldn't get upset, and this and that. Okay, great. But what is, then the concept comes up, okay, that's the mechanics, but what about you? You understand? So that's why you have to apply the philosophy into your situation. You understand? So that's generally what happens. Either it's just personal, material personal, or generic spiritual, right? But the material won't work without the spiritual, but the spiritual won't work without the personal. So that's why then you have to use spiritual and personal. Then you have both, then it will be powerful. But then you have to think, it's not about the thing, you know, oh, they did this to you, that's nonsense, that's not right, this can't happen, we got to take, that's, you know, what have I done here? It's not about the person, it's about the justice of the situation. You understand? So if it's light, that'll work. Because then, okay, they support. But if it's more heavy, then where are you in it? You understand what's happening? So that's the point, is that if you don't introduce Krishna consciousness, then you may be able to temporarily work it out and feel better, but then the problem, when it comes up again, you'll have the same effect. So if the in Krishna consciousness is included, then as it progresses, then when it comes up, it'll be a little easier. You know? Or, yeah. You know, so, in other words, we generate the situation of water off a duck's back, but not by being thick-skinned, but by being God-conscious. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why the devotee is not affected, but can be very personal. But that just takes practice to be able to connect these. So that's why then all these things are applied. Any situation is going to make you Krishna conscious, just like we said here. The wife is upset about something that happened, like that. Now, you have to introduce Krishna consciousness, otherwise you'll have exactly the same problem next time. You know, it's just like this. The counter is dirty. I pick up everything on the counter and move it over onto, you know, another area in the kitchen. Have I solved the problem? No. That place there where it was dirty is clean. But then now I want to work over here, it's dirty still. So that's the thing. If you introduce Krishna consciousness, then it's better. It doesn't mean it won't take time, but that's it'll get better. Does that make sense? But if I only apply philosophy, then it's not about me. It's impersonal. You understand? So that's the whole thing. So it's not about justice. It's not about that kind of aspect or the duties or about being detached. It's you have to apply Krishna consciousness to the individual. Does that make sense? That will then give the... So that will take practice. Now one can say whatever you like, but that means you really have to know the philosophy and really have to know the culture to apply that. So if you don't accept the Vedic culture and don't accept the philosophy, you can't do that. You can use some modern techniques and some people can do pretty well and most of the time, but it's how often do you find a person that can do that? Right? And then some will know the philosophy nicely, but generally the culture, it's not common that someone who's a scholar in Vedic knowledge is known for their culture. It's very rare. Right? I don't know if it's still a current saying. My mother used to mention that someone's a gentleman and a scholar. So that was considered good. You had both. Is that makes sense? So that's then where it applies. And that, technically speaking, in a grihastha's life is a very major aspect of their life. How to balance the dealings and the husband and wife that everybody is comfortable. And so to do that, you have to know the philosophy, you have to know the culture, and you really have to use your intelligence to apply it. And so how are you going to get that? That, therefore, that's the tradition why they go to Gurukul. So they learn the philosophy, learn the culture, apply it in a very simple environment so they can catch how it works before you get into the unlimitedly, complicated world called Grihastha life. Does that make sense? But the point is the soul not being the body, it doesn't matter. They can take the Vedic wisdom, which is on the eternal platform, and apply it to whatever their conditioning is. It just is going to be a little harder. It's not going to be as natural as if you grow up in it and just do it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you grow up in a family that speaks a language. It's easy to talk. You don't grow up, you go to school, even though you're very intelligent, you learn the language, but there's always going to be something you miss, some little aspect, and, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's it. But by intelligence, by association, by practice, you get it. So after a while, then you'll see you speak the language as good as anybody else. But it's harder. You know what I'm saying? So that means those who, let's say, grow up in France, how nicely they speak French basically is pretty good. You have close to 100%. Right? Those who didn't grow up that have learned it and now have been accepted by the French that they speak French like a French person should speak it, that's very few. But it can be done. Right? Why? If you want to do it, you're determined, you put in the effort, it happens. So that's the beauty of the situation. If you can create the ideal, you grow up in it. If not, you generate it from wherever you are. So that's the thing. So the first generation basically has to do that. Second generation ideally should grow up learning. Not hopefully third generation. You know what I'm saying? So second generation grows up, third generation's at an advantage. Fourth generational, as you go, So fifth generation, then third generation is the grandparents. Now that's good. You know what I'm saying? And then it'll make it very easy for first generation to follow it because everybody else follows it with such confidence and they get such nice results. Right. So then here we see is that you're not disturbed because you're adding Krishna consciousness. That's the only real thing that does. These other techniques you can use, but the problem is the modes change. They don't work anymore. So what's the principle that makes them work? That you have to know. How you'll know that unless you know the philosophy. Does that make sense? Because it has to go back to Krishna. Otherwise it's not complete. The formulas without Krishna aren't complete. Therefore, you end up with smartas. You ever been to a smarta's house? Everything's very nice, very exact, very clean, very orderly, and very, very dry and boring. I mean, squoze the sugar cane a few times, dry. But culturally, everything's very nice, but even that, somehow or another, it's dry. But everything's perfect. It's done nicely. There's no problems. It's all motor goodness. But it's dry. So that's the problem. It's materially, everything's going nice. They have facility. Everything's going. They're respected.
We don't have that problem.
Huh?
We don't have that problem. Materially, everything is nice.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's better sometimes to have some dry things.
Yeah. Yeah, who has a wet pizza? So it should be dry. Is that? Yeah. So that's the whole point is we're talking about what they're doing, do it in Krishna consciousness, then everything's there. That's the... But we take is that you're either making the endeavor... or you're Krishna conscious, and they two have absolutely nothing to do with each other. And then there's this little demilitarized zone between the two, which those who have a degree in, what do you call it? You can sit there and have a group discussion. They lead it. Facilitate. Yeah, and if you have a facilitating degree, you're that little demilitarized zone. Yeah. Though at night when you go home, you go over to this side. Okay. It is not... Okay. We cannot stop the miseries of the material atmosphere, but Krishna consciousness is the antiseptic method to protect us from being affected by the miseries of material existence. For a Krishna conscious person, both living in heaven and living in hell are equal. How Swayambhuva Manu created an atmosphere wherein he was not affected by material miseries is explained in the following verses. Right, so he's coming home. We see that is already there. Right, because if we just start off, he does all these things. So what for? Right, because the first thing we have to know is what's the result. Right, then after that, then we want to know, what's that subject matter and then how to apply it. Right, does that make sense? So the first thing is have the right attitude. After the attitude, what result I can get, then the subject matter and how to apply it. Right? that we think very nicely like that.
Emperor Swayambhuva Manu enjoyed life with his wife and subjects and fulfilled his desires without being disturbed by unwanted principles contrary to the process of religion.
Right, because if you leave off the principles of religion, it'll always be a disturbance. Just the way it goes. Now here it also enjoyed life with his wife and subjects. So it's not that he was sitting in his palace enjoying life with his wife and the subjects, it's all a big problem, they're rioting in the streets. Or he's all out there, it's all work and no play, and you know, the subjects all going mechanically very nicely, but at home, you know, the wife is, you know, having some affair with somebody and this and that, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and either of these is our traditional, typical Western political situations, right? But here it mentions both. So that means his personal life was going nicely, the kingdom was going nicely. So that can be done if you're Krishna conscious and follow all these principles.
Celestial musicians and their wives sang in chorus about the pure reputation of the emperor. And early in the morning, every day, he used to listen to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a loving heart.
Right? So, if it was just that they're singing because they have to, it just mentioned the musicians. But it mentions the musicians and their wives. Right? So that means, because the typically ladies don't like to talk nice about someone, you know, unless they believe it. Right? Unless they have to. You know? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, you just cook something like that, you put it on the plate, put it down there, and, the lady tastes it and you say, how do you like it? And before she, you know, answers, then she hears behind her somebody pulling, cocking the gun. You know, then she goes, great. Never tasted better, right? Yeah. So it's not that they're not smart, but I'm just saying, as a general, you know what I'm saying? So when you mention both, means that together, then there's that feeling that this is good. You understand? Otherwise, you just say musicians. They're doing it because they're supposed to. And if you're taking about here, the celestial, why would celestial musicians be here? Because they don't have to be here. Right? If you don't have celestial musicians, you got to have musicians, so you get the local people. Right? Celestials are only here because they want to be here. So that means they come because they're attracted by the quality that he has. Right? And it's so good, they bring their wives. You understand? If you go to some place because you have to or it's a job, you don't bring your wife there. If it's great and fabulous, then you bring your wife. Does that make sense? Yes, no? So these are the subtleties that they're, you know, bringing out here. So that's the thing. It's very personal. It's very, compatible with the family environment. Right? Otherwise, why are after the second canto of technical philosophy, our first examples are of grihasthas? Right? Because if it doesn't work there, who's going to buy it? Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
But it seems that these grihasthas, they are perfect individually.
Yes.
And applying perfectly Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
And they are the most happy grihastha in life.
Yes. In other words, what we see here, this is as good as it gets.
Yes,
that's the whole point. But it's being brought out that if you follow the Vedic culture and Krishna consciousness, it's progressive. You get both. But we see is that even you're getting both, it's not that it's not a problem. He's the emperor. It's not that it's not a problem to manage. Because as we said, the same difficulties don't go away. They just don't affect you. It's his duties. He's doing it for the Lord. So therefore, it goes on. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So he's avoiding... So he's fulfilling his desires without being disturbed by unwanted principles contrary to the process. Okay, so you have a process of devotional service. So one shouldn't accept things that are contrary to that. They may look like they may be good, they may give some good results, but we find that they don't. Because basically you just have to look at the Western culture. So what's great about it? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like here you're talking about the king, his citizens, the relationships that are going on, the peaceful atmosphere.
iPhones,
okay. So that's is that regular or plus?
It's a big plus.
Huh?
It's a big plus.
Big plus.
There's an iPhone.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, see, talk about something is that something's known for. What are they known for? You know, okay. London, how do you know it? If you're going to the traveling Big Ben, if you, you know, how do you know France? Eiffel Tower, right? Italy, you know, you got, you know, that funny building that doesn't stand up properly. It takes millions of dollars to keep it standing, right? That one. Yeah. You understand? So, like that, in a few places, it's the natural thing, you know, so man didn't. You can credit man gets as he didn't destroy it, right? You know, Niagara Falls or, you know, something like that. You know, so that's the thing, is that it's not known for the whole culture and everything. There's just some element to it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference here, is that you want to avoid principles that are against. Because it may get you what you want, but then it will also give you the material miseries that go along with it. You know, that's the difficulty. Is that?
And early in the morning every day, he used to listen to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a loving heart. Right? So it wasn't just he was doing it because he was supposed to. He liked to do it. Thus, Swayambhuva Manu was a saintly king. Although absorbed in material happiness, he was not dragged to the lowest grade of life. For he always enjoyed his material happiness in a Krishna conscious atmosphere. Right? So that's the thing. It's not that it's one and the other. The two are there together. Right? But this is not best of both worlds, because we have to remember this world doesn't have any best and that world doesn't have any bad. You know what I'm saying? So it's that the consciousness is proper in a environment of by functioning in an environment produced from the performance of your duties. Right? I perform my duties, whatever results I get, that's the environment I work in. Now I'm Krishna conscious. So he is an emperor, he does his work, he has an empire. Someone else does their work and they have, you know, something very small. No. There's a good chance he doesn't have spray can and graffiti on the front of his, you know, at his front door, right? You know, so. 33-34. Srila Prabhupada's purports describe Manu's mood and activities, and by following Swayambhuva Manu's example, anyone can fearlessly avoid the alluring yet virulent web created by materialistic life.
So was this a pre-comment about the internet here?
It is understood that Emperor Swayambhuva Manu enjoyed his household life by following these principles. It is stated here that early in the morning, there were musicians who used to sing with musical instruments about the glories of the Lord. And the emperor, with his family, personally used to hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Person.
Right? You know, this goes back to what Mataji was saying, is that he has real people with real instruments singing about the Lord. We have, you know, an iPod. So one could say it's a benefit, but in comparison to what it could be, then you might not see it quite the same. Yeah.
So the iPhone is for everybody. iPhone is for everybody can enjoy.
Everybody can enjoy? Have you been to Rio? Everybody there is enjoying an iPod.
At least the Chinese phone.
Oh, okay.
It's
that's not the one that we took.
That was good.
I think that's an eye poke. The idea is that it's available, but in it being available, you lose something. You know what I'm saying? That personal interaction, the thing, sitting nicely. You know? That, so we look at it that it's nice, but much of the time, unless you also have a dock for it with nice speakers, you're listening to the iPod because you're doing something totally boring and you want to be less bored. That's why you're listening to it. You know, you're out jogging or you're working or, you know, something, so you're wearing it. But here, if they're just sitting there comfortably and listening to the musicians sing, slightly there's that cultural element that's there. So that's what we're saying is not commonly available. Right? So, but this is coming from the performance of his duties. So he performs the duties of a king. He has celestial musicians, you know, singing live. You know, we're not performing the duties of an emperor. We have an iPod. But then there's the other question. You say everybody in China has an iPod. Is everybody in China listening to Krishna conscious descriptions of the Lord?
No.
No. So then they don't quite have what he has. This custom is still prevalent in India and some of the royal families and temples. Professional musicians sing with shanais, and the sleeping members of the house gradually get up from their beds in a pleasing atmosphere. So this, you see, is very rare. The temples, some temples do it, some royal family will do it. You do have some aristocracy who has live musicians, but it's not in the morning that they're being woken up. It'll be evening entertainment like that. Devotees, when they were traveling Rajasthan, they were at somebody's house where every evening they would just call, they would hire whoever were the best musicians in the area, and they would come and then do a performance personally in their house. So it's just their family or like that. So, but they're not being woken up. So we see is that that's the next level. You'd probably be happy with the first level. During bedtime, also the singers sing songs in a relationship with the pastimes of the Lord, with shanai accompaniment, and the householders gradually fall asleep, remembering the glories of the Lord. In every house, in addition to the singing program, there is arrangement for Bhagavatam lectures in the evening. Family members sit down, hold Hare Krishna kirtan, hear narrations from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and enjoy music before going to bed. See, now that's what's available to the devotees. Right? You may not have, you know, Gandharvas coming down from the heavenly planets and singing for you, but you can kind of, you can do it yourself, you know. Somebody says, so it works. So you're getting the benefit of hearing about Krishna, and you're getting the benefit of the music before going to bed. The atmosphere created by the Sankirtan movement lives in their hearts. And while sleeping, they also dream of the singing and glorification of the Lord. In such a way, perfection of Krishna consciousness can be obtained. This practice is very old, as learned from this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Millions of years ago, Swayambhuva Manu used to avail himself to this opportunity to live householder life in the peace and prosperity of a Krishna conscious atmosphere. 33 purport. The kingly happiness and material enjoyment generally drags one to the lowest grade of life, namely degradation to animal life, because of unrestricted sense enjoyment. Right? Because if you have facility, the tendency is to over-exaggerate the use of these facilities. Right? And then from that, one drags one down to animal life. So here, if it's followed in the Krishna conscious way, it doesn't have that effect. So that's what we're trying to, that's what is being brought out. So whatever your situation, by performance of your duties, doing things in a Krishna conscious way, you can get all material facilities that are due to you for your position. You can say, no, but I don't have this or that, but the point is, will you ever have this or that? Even if you don't follow the Vedic principles, will you have this or that? You know what I'm saying? You follow the Vedic principles or don't follow the Vedic principles, are you going to have a 6-bedroom flat? I mean, a house with lawn, you know, your own pool, you know, golf course in the back, tennis courts, you know, place for riding the horses, the stable for the horses, you know, 15-car garage. Is that going to happen? Right? Doesn't matter what you do, it's probably not going to happen. Understand? But for people who look at houses like that, then it's just a matter of whether they like the layout of this one or the layout of that one.
Yes.
You know, and if they don't like, you know, like that as well, forget this one. Well, you know, why are we bothering with this one? You know, I think I prefer the one that was, you know, in south of France. Or, do you understand? So they work on that level. So they're doing that. That's what the level they work at. So whatever you're at, whether you perform things piously or not, you're going to get your particular aspect. But if you're performing things in a Krishna conscious way, then you won't be disturbed by the material miseries. You go back to God. Does that make sense? So that's what's being pointed out. Because otherwise, oh, but you can only get so much if you want more. So what example do you give? You give the example of the emperor, who's emperor of the world. Right? And so from that, then you can understand you can get everything from a Krishna conscious lifestyle. Otherwise, there may be a doubt. Does that sound the same? Yes.
It seems that in the Vedic present culture, there is a time for everything. A certain time of the day.
Yes.
Means to live in the present, to live in goodness, means to not to want to, according to the time of the day.
Yes, according to the time of the day. That's one of the aspects. So you see, even in the modern, because you're dealing with the soul, and what the soul wants is he wants the spiritual world, you know, without Krishna, basically.
Yes.
So you're still going to fall into the basic general lifestyle. Right? Like, let's say, the normal person, the general average person, when do they go to work? Right?
Between 8 a.m.
Yeah, so after breakfast, right? They get up in the morning, they do the things in their house, whatever they like, you know, they do the jogging, they do, you know, whatever it is, they do. And then they go to work, and then they come back in the evening. And then they perform their evening aspects, tasks around the house, this, that. You know, friends, you know, whatever it is that they do, then they go to bed. That's the general average guy. But in the Vedic system, it's the same thing. You have up to the breakfast, and then you do your activities, and then you have the evening.
Yes.
So there's no conflict following a Krishna conscious lifestyle. And the modern, as far as work goes, it slots in quite easily. What's not going to fit in is going to bed at, you know, 12, 1 o'clock, and then following the morning program. That's going to be a problem. Is that makes sense. So, but otherwise, it doesn't distract from Krishna conscious lifestyle at all. Right? Instead of going to bed at 11, you go to bed at 9. So instead of getting up at 6, you get up at 4. So you get the same amount of sleep. You know, but you get in, you know, your spiritual life and time with the family, everything's there. Right? Because you can say, as you get up in the morning, you have Mangal Arti, you know, you chant your japa, have some kirtan, some class, you know, some prasad. Who's that done with? Devotees. So it's with the family. Now, as far as the non-devotees go, generally they're just getting up, fighting over the bathroom, coming out, and hopefully they're getting their bowl of cereal eaten. You know, some have to eat it in the car. You know, but generally those are the only ones that have a limousine and stuff like that. So then, you know, like that. And then how much time was spent with the family? Nothing. You know, except for fighting over breakfast and fighting over, you know, the bathroom. You understand?
In the remote.
Hmm?
In the remote.
Remote. Well, in the morning, yeah, okay, yeah.
Cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah, cartoons.
Tom and Jerry.
I was more thinking of the weekday. What a waste of time. It hasn't really changed since the last evening, right? The last 12 hours. Okay, so does that make sense? So they're actually getting more time with the family. You know, evening also you'll generally find devotees have more time. Yeah, the quality time also, you're going to bed earlier, the quality of rest is better, so everything's improved. So that just shows that you're getting the material benefits greater than the non-devotees by using the Vedic culture. But you have to also know what is good time with the family. That also has to be.
Yes. It seems that the most difficult thing is to find the balance for the devotees, for sadhakas, how to feed everything, especially in the grihastha life.
Yes.
And here we see the example, everything is set up.
Yes.
So these personalities, they don't have to speculate.
No.
And for us, we have our own space,
yeah.
So we have to fill it up somehow.
Yeah.
And it's not easy, actually.
Yes. That's why it's recommended you have this structure. The Pancharatra gives this structure. Vedic gives a structure. They give structures of what's done at what time of the day. Because you have certain things, like spiritual activities work easiest in the morning and evening. Like that. The middle of the day you can do, but generally that's more active things or more artistic things and things like that. Putting together, you know, the house, seeing that things are in order, you know, in other words, dealing with the estate is generally done well in the evening. You know, before sunset, but, you know, after work. So that makes sense. So that works good. So for some that go to work later, then there's not so much time unless, you know, you're in a place where the sun goes down at 9 or 11 o'clock. Then maybe. But otherwise, you know, so the Vedic, they would generally start earlier. You know, for us, following the Brahminical lifestyle, it starts later. So ours is actually closer to the modern. Or the modern is closer to this, because there's you'll see in the Vedic there's a lot of similarities on one sense between the Shudras and the Brahmins, because they both live simple and things like that, you know, and how they do things. And does that make sense? So it depends on the area. So like that. But otherwise, the administrative starts early, but then they're getting up early also. But then they'll have more time in the afternoon. Like that. You know, it's just like you see the local laborers, they start work at 6, but then they're finished at 2.
Yes.
So then they can go home, they have the whole afternoon to do things around the house and this and that, and so it works quite well. And then they do that, and then the evening time is all for the family. Like that. They just tend to miss out a bit on the spiritual aspect.
Yes.
So where can this be find what to do with time? You mentioned the scriptures.
It's Pancharatra. Basically, the lifestyle, your standard, typical temple lifestyle, that's the Pancharatra lifestyle. It's just you do it at your house. Or part is at your house, part is that's the okay. Okay, the next. The kingly happiness and material enjoyment generally drags one to the... Oh, we read that. But Swayambhuva Manu was considered as good as a saintly sage because the atmosphere created in his kingdom and home was completely Krishna conscious. Right? So it's a matter of whether you're using facilities in Krishna consciousness or using the lack of facilities in Krishna consciousness. So you're either using attachment or renunciation in Krishna service. Right? But in any case, you have to be detached from your attachment or detachment to use a Krishna service. Right? Does that make sense? Because
mm-hmm.
otherwise, if you're attached to your detachment, it's still not for Krishna. You don't get that one?
I'm trying to see how you detach from your detachment.
But what are you detached from? If you're practicing detachment, what are you detached from?
Facilities which you're using.
Yeah, but you're attached to being detached.
You can be attached to being detached.
Why couldn't you? It's just like this. The man is there, comes home, he sits down on the couch and just wants to chill with no interaction. And then the wife, starts talking. He's attached to his detachment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that make sense?
He's attached to his quiet time.
No. He's attached to the principle that he's not going to have to interact on the personal platform. Right? Because personal means I just spent all day with people that I hate. I want to spend some time with nobody. She's attached to that. Does that make sense? So the point is one can become attached to detachment. Right? It's just like this. Let's say you have some, grihasthas, they're known for, comfortable living and interacting with people, very community-minded and all this kind of stuff. And they travel with a lot of stuff. Now they're going someplace, and you ask them, you're going there, can you take this with you and give it to somebody? Generally, no problem. Because they know the field of attachment, they're carrying stuff, and they don't care. Right? Now you have the sannyasi or brahmachari, he carries nothing, and you ask him to carry this, he doesn't want to carry it. Why? Because he's attached to his detachment. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the whole point. So the point is you're engaging attachment in Krishna service or detachment in Krishna service. The point is this engaged in Krishna service, that's the principle. Right?
Yeah.
So in general it should be, if you're detached, it'll be easier to apply it in a detached fashion. Well, if you're attached, it's sometimes harder to apply it in a detached fashion. But if one's Krishna conscious, neither are a problem. So that's why then he's like the sayings. Does that make sense? The case is similar with the conditioned souls in general. They come into this material life for sense gratification. But if they are able to create a Krishna conscious atmosphere, as depicted here, or as prescribed in revealed scriptures, by temple worship and household deity worship, then in spite of their material enjoyment, they can make advancement in pure Krishna consciousness without a doubt. Right? So what sets the Pancharatrik lifestyle is it's around the deities.
Yes.
Right? So the deities they have when they wake up, the Mangalarti, their pujas, all the activities that are there in Swadhyaya about, worshipping the deity, Tulsi, Bhagavatam, chanting, taking prasad, all those activities that are recommended are done. Then, after that, then you do those activities that are services to the deities, more generic. Not the personal ones, the greater ones, taking care of the temple, doing all those things. So that's where then your work comes in. Understand? Then in the evening, again, there's services for the deity. Kirtan and Bhagavatam and Prasad and putting their deities to rest, and then you go to rest.
And having deities at home as a grihasthas will help do those things more.
If you don't have a temple.
Yeah.
It means like if you're here, then you just go to the temple program.
Yeah.
But if you're out in the boonies somewhere, then you have deities. And deities means from the eight kinds of deities, doesn't mean Archa. You know what I'm saying? In other words, pictures work great.
Yes.
Right? In other words, if you don't want to bathe the deities and dress them, better have pictures. They don't expect it.
Yes, I understand.
But, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say I have a robotic dog, okay? Does he expect to be fed? No. Does he expect me to interact with him? No. So as long as I, you know, plug him in and, you know, and, then he's great. So when I want to interact, great. When I don't, then, hey, you just push the off button. Okay? No problem. Now, if you have a real dog, you can't say, as you know, hey, when do I get a break? You understand? So one can't get deities and say, I don't want to do these things. You understand? That's why God made pictures. Right? So he comes as pictures so you can have an altar, do all the worship you want when you want it, and then when you don't, you don't. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's got to think, oh, we don't have deities, and when we go traveling, just do manas and puja and this, and it's all great and fabulous. No, it's when you have pictures, and when you go traveling, you don't have to do any worship. You have deities, you do the worship. You understand? You know, it's not like, oh, when we're at home, then we interact with the kids and all that kind of stuff. When we go traveling, then we just leave the kids at home and we go out, you know. You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... At the present moment, modern civilization is too much attached to the material way of life or sense gratification. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement can give the people in general the best opportunity to utilize the human life in the midst of material enjoyment. So we're not saying you have to get rid of it. You have to just bring it in line with Krishna consciousness. So if you have elements of sense gratification that are against the Vedic principles, that's adjusted, right? But the particular sense gratification itself, the generic, that's not adjusted, right? Grihasthas do eat, whether they're devotees or non-devotees. They wear clothes, they have a house, you understand? All the different things that are there, but you just have to bring it in line. And when you bring it in line, you see the facilities and the and benefits are greater. Krishna consciousness does not stop them in their propensity for material enjoyment, but simply regulates their habits in the life of sense enjoyment. Right? Because if it's regulated, then one, you get more benefit, and two, then you can look at it from a better point of view. Right? Unregulated, then there's always that, oh, what could happen? What are the possibilities? But then because it is unregulated, also your sense gratification is not regulated. Does that make sense? If every day you eat at this time, you eat every day. But if you don't have that, then sometimes you're eating, sometimes you're not. You understand? So this idea that regulation reduces sense gratification, no, it makes it stable. And in an environment of stable sense gratification, it's easier to be Krishna conscious than it's irregular. Because then you know, it's like this, you don't have to think about eating because food is at this time. Well, if it's irregular, you have to always think about it. Where will you go? Where you eat? What will you do? What arrangements? Does that make sense? So that's why things are regulated. And then by regulation, then you can use intelligence. Then you can see things in a proper light. Otherwise, when it's unregulated, you'll just see it from the emotional point of view. And then it'll be very hard to introduce the mode of goodness. Does that make sense? In spite of their enjoying the material advantages, they can be liberated in this very life by practicing Krishna consciousness by the simple method of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 34 purport. Right? So it's despite that, because the material is the smaller, the spiritual is the greater. The difficulty is when we make the material the greater, then spiritual life is very slow. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not that material life has any substance. Oh, you know, they have so much facility. How can they be Krishna conscious? What has that got to do with anything? Since when does an illusion have any effect on reality? Does that make sense? That's the point. You know, so that doesn't have any effect. So if you are situated nicely in Krishna consciousness, therefore, whatever is the facility that's natural for your nature by the performance of your duties, that's the position you're in. Does that make sense? So that's how you judge. How much facility is what is generated by the performance of your duties? You generate a lot, then you can live with more. You generate less, you live with less. Does that make sense? That's the natural way it works. Right? Yes.
So you said if you make the material bigger than spiritual progress will be slow.
Yes. So because our focus is on the material, we give it a value. If you don't give it a value, it doesn't matter how big it is, it doesn't mean anything.
So the devotees in the West, we make this comparison always with the West and the Dham.
That's because the West is of value to us. Otherwise, why would you compare it?
No, of course, but I'm just thinking it's easier to get influenced by the material in the West, or is that an illusion itself as well?
That's because we don't mind being influenced by it. You understand, there's what is positive in Krishna consciousness, and then you understand. So that's lacking in the West. In the Dham, it's all Krishna conscious. So therefore, even if one's not being Krishna conscious, one is affected by the spiritual atmosphere. Mm-hmm. But in the West, there is no spiritual atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? Yes. So that's the main difference. But otherwise, engaging things in the Lord's service, because the point is the West is still just as much Krishna's as the Dham.
Yes. This influence I'm talking about, I feel like when I go back to the West, I feel like it's a vacuum cleaner just slowly sucking.
Oh, you should get a Dyson. They work like that.
I have to change the bag. No, but I just feel the influence of, especially association, because there's more association with devotees here than there is.
Yeah, because it's designed that way.
Yeah.
Well, in the West, you could design it that way, but...
more challenging.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, you have, let's say, a temple in the West, and they, you know, you have the temple, there's, you know, all 12 devotees there, and then you have the community, which is 500.
Yeah.
Okay? Okay. And then, okay, now in that community, do they have, like, a group of devotees trying to work on, you know, housing or... other facilities? Do they have a community hall? Do they have all these different things? Do they work out to see that there's classes for everybody in the area and everything like that? No, but they do that here. That's why it's more Krishna conscious association. You could say, well, it's the West, we can't do all those things. Who said? You know? It's just like the guys at Alcoholics Anonymous. Do they have association with people who are trying to stop being alcoholics?
Yeah.
Right? Do they have camaraderie? Do they get together? Do they spend time? So? How many of them are there in that group? 15, 20? You know, the city is how many million? They're there. Because they want to be there. So this idea is, oh, we're in the West, we can't do... That's just cheating.
It is a bigger challenge to get that arranged.
Why is it a bigger challenge?
Because everyone wants to have their nuclear house. So people get a...
So why do they want to have a nuclear house?
Die first from one to the other, but they want their space, their condition.
But why? What's the space important for? What are you going to fill the space with? That's the ones that are... can do something, you know. So, yeah. How many get sense gratification? Okay, they have their space. What's the food like? Right? How's the social interaction? Like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we'll stop there. I'm just saying, you go down the list, it's not happening. You understand? They want their space because outside it's so bad. You understand? Community means they're cooperating together, but everybody wants their own space, and all they want is to get the benefit of community without being community. So what does that come from? That comes from the Vedic culture, or that comes from the Western culture? And of Western culture, does that come from the Anglo-Saxon culture? Does that come from the local cultures? You're not sure. Okay, let us say you walk down the...
I'm not sure what the local culture is in my cities.
Local, I means which is not defined by that culture.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Most places in the world, you kind of do have some community. You know what I'm saying? It's the first world concept where you have minimal community. You know what I'm saying? So it's generated by the Western culture. So the point is if you're happy with it, then stop complaining. Unless, of course, you have it so that you can complain, and that's the value. You know what I'm saying? You know, like the old people's home, they talk about, this hurts or that hurts, or this one died and that one died. You know what I'm saying? So if that's what you want, then great. But then don't complain about this. Maybe the complaint is that this doesn't give you an opportunity to complain so much. You know what I'm saying? So the point is you get what you work for. Nothing comes for free. There's this idea that I will, mode of ignorance, I'll get something for free. I won't work, I won't do anything, I'll get something. But that doesn't work anything. You know what I'm saying? I saw one thing, they're working on a robot that will bring you your bottle of beer. So you just have to sit there and it brings the beer. It opens it and brings it to you. Of course, it has a lot of problems. It opens it, breaks the bottle. Before it gets to you, it drops it. Or it doesn't actually pick it up, it gets empty. So it's a problem. Right? Now, they'll work all that out. You'll get it. So then you can just sit back and do nothing. But okay, what did you have to do to be able to buy that thing? And the robot didn't go out and buy the beer.
To work. We have to work.
We have to work. So the point is you still, there's no such thing as something for nothing. So everyone's thinking, I won't work, and it'll be great. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. So everyone wants to be on the committee, but no one wants to work. So they just want to tell what everybody else should be doing so that I get the benefit.
So it's like if you want to live in the West and you want to live close to devotees in a community...
Then you have to create it.
Yes. but don't go live in the city.
You can live in the city. Why can't you have community in the city?
Oh.
Chaupati's, you can't say that there's more of a city than Bombay.
Okay.
And it's hard to find a city as big as Bombay.
That's more of an exception than it is a common practice.
No, it's the nature of the people.
Yeah.
So, rural countryside is more, not easier?
It is easier, but then who wants to live in the countryside?
Yeah.
How many here came from a farm? Okay, two people. And this is a lot. Normally, the whole temper of like the Sunday morning class and do the same thing. And you might not get this many. You know what I'm saying? But it's not that it's less work. Well, you can say, oh, but it's more work in the city. Okay, let's say you have a community of 10. I'm not talking about how many are there. I'm not talking about the other 490. I'm talking about the ones that you interact with. Okay? They're all over the city. But now let's say out on the farm, where's the next farm? Right? It's not just next door.
It depends on the country.
Yeah, it depends on the country. How big the farm is.
Australia is a 3-hour drive.
Yeah. We had a farm, I think it was an all-day drive. One farm, I forget it was like 30,000 acres or something. You understand? So it means that there's distance. So you're going to have to make that effort. But the point is it works. All the difference is between your house and the next person's house, there's pleasant countryside rather than stupid buildings. Right? That's the only difference. You know, and now and again you get stuck behind the herd of cows, and you know, the other one you get stuck behind a bunch of cars. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So the problems are the same, it's just you have to make the endeavor. Just the persons in the country, they because of the lack of the passion. It doesn't mean that they're in goodness, it means the environment's in goodness. Prabhupada said living in the forest is goodness, living in the cities is passion, you know, or ignorance. That, you understand? So then by doing this, then the atmosphere is goodness, so they're more tends to appreciate nature, you know, the element of the supreme, people, interactions with people. You know what I'm saying? So they tend to that, so the environment, yes, is better. That's why Prabhupada recommended communities were on farms. Problem is the city people don't like farms. You know, sir?
Yeah.
So therefore, create community in this, wherever you are. If you're on a farm, create community. If you're in the city, make it there. Doesn't matter.
Do what you can.
Yeah. And it's not that, okay, they've done it in Bombay, they have a community, they have, you know, 30 active devotees and stuff like that, they're coming up to the standard like Alachua here, you know, 30 regular devotees at the temple and stuff like that, you know, really dynamic community there. No, they have like 8,000. And that's like the more dynamic, active ones. You know, it's probably 10, 12 now. You know, and the amazing thing is they all have jobs. They're not living off the dole. That's the most far out thing.
That's nice.
Yeah. Because they make community, because they worry about everything for the devotees. So someone who's good in a particular area, not the guy who wants to be because he's worried about it, the guy who actually knows what he's talking about, then they get them together and they make plans how to benefit everybody else in the community. You understand? So that's community. Not sitting around, oh, it'd be nice if this happened, that happened. Oh, nobody's cooperating, how can we make community? No, make something for them, not tell everybody else what they should do. You understand? Yeah. Okay. Consequently, although his duration of life gradually came to an end, his long life, consisting of a Manvantara era, was not spent in vain, since he ever engaged in hearing, contemplating, writing down, and chanting the pastimes of the Lord. 35. Srila Prabhupada describes the miseries of old age in his purport. As freshly prepared food is very tasteful, but if kept for 3 or 4 hours becomes stale and tasteless, so the existence of material enjoyment can endure as long as life is fresh. But at the fag end of life, everything becomes tasteless, and everything appears to be vain and painful. The life of Emperor Swayambhuva Manu, however, was not tasteless as he grew older. His life remained as fresh as in the beginning because of his continued Krishna consciousness. The life of a man in Krishna consciousness is always fresh. Because Krishna is fresh, you're in touch with fresh, everything stays fresh. Yes.
But wouldn't he also remain kind of fresh due to his celestial energy? Sorry, didn't answer.
No, it's okay. But, okay, you do things for 10 years. Does it tend to get old? Yeah, so then what defines what does and what doesn't? Okay, but I'm saying as a category, so the things that don't are closer to nature.
Spiritual.
Yeah, or spiritual, okay. But things that are just regular day-to-day material things.
Yeah.
Okay, just like, let's say, vacuuming the rug. Okay, maybe it's a new rug, new vacuum cleaner, it's fun. But now, let us take 4,300,000 years times 71 of vacuuming the rug.
I mean, you're harder than me.
Yeah. But still, you have to tell the maid to do it, get the new maid, everything like that. So, you have to think about that. Right? How long do maids last?
Right?
Yeah, okay, so you can understand how many million maids there are in that amount of time. Yeah, so like that. So in other words, because it's connected to Krishna, it doesn't get old. Right? You know, that's the thing, this guy said, I want to live longer, but that means you have to work longer also. They don't quite put that together. So Prabhupada's pointing out is because of the Krishna consciousness, it's always fresh. Krishna is fresh. So if you're connected to him, then whatever you're doing remains fresh. So, we just got to the last paragraph. So does that end? Oh, yeah, that's it.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.